everyone. This is the second line of the PHN podcast, and this is Lou Lafredo, the owner and publisher of ProHockeyNews.com. And this week we are without our captain and center, so it is the donut line once more. And I am joined by Jacob Daugherty. Jacob, how are you today?
I am good.
Yeah. How's the? I'm curious as to how the weather is your way, because this is going to lead into a short rant. I didn't want people to forget that Richard actually does these.
It just snowed, but most of it didn't stay. So, but there's still snow on the good amount of snow on the ground, and still winter.
So I think it was Monday into Tuesday. We got something like 4 inches of snow here. Probably the biggest total that we had all winter season. And in typical New Mexico fashion, it was literally gone by 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So it fell 12 hours earlier and was gone by 1 o'clock. There are no vestiges of 4 inches of snow that fell. Which leads into a brief rant, a la Richard Cote. I did not want this episode of The Second Line to go by without a rant. We have been cold and miserable and damp on some days, and the weather has been bone-chilling at times. Today, we went up to 73 degrees. I was just coming home from my Friday session. Away from the office. And what I noticed on the drive home, 70 gorgeous degrees, not a cloud in the sky. The closest cloud was somewhere over Mesa, Arizona. Everyone's got their windows rolled up with the air conditioning on. I'm sorry, but that's just not right. I don't know how to reconcile that. I had the windows open, the sunroof open, and just enjoying the warm air coursing across this old body. So folks, before we really get into the episode, I really want to put a shout out to Adam Minnick last week on the first line. He did a quick introduction. As many of you know at this point, and if you don't, I'm sorry to have to break the news. But on 2 weeks ago, tomorrow, we lost one of our founders, Donald Money, Don Money Jr., who was our ECHL editor, co-editor with John Hall. Don had the responsibility for the Eastern Conference in the ECHL. The thing to keep in mind with Don is that he came on board probably about 05. And got in touch with us. And he was really the reason why we went from a WPHL, Western Professional Hockey League focused publication out to a wider audience. He was the beginning of that. In a little bit, we are going to be talking to Adam Minnick, the host of the First Line, and we'll be talking a little bit about that. And we hope that you get a little bit more information from there and understand why we are so heavy-hearted, I think is probably the best way to put it, Jacob. Don was just a terrific guy. We have had a series of publications on the website giving some respect and honor over to Don. But let's talk a little bit of hockey, Jacob. And Richard usually almost always throws it over to me at this point for the Bangers and Mash report. And I was going to pass this up thinking it was a little frivolous to be talking too much hockey. But Jacob, if you'll have the patience with me, this is actually one of those interesting reports, because since we have been doing Bangers and Mash this season, the Sheffield Steelers have been not running away with the EIHL this season, but they have had a really strong presence in the standings, the ladder, as they say. Over the since the last time you and I and Richard met, Jacob, there's been something of an upheaval. The Sheffield Steelers have fallen to second place, 4 points behind the Belfast Giants. And if I may say, the Belfast Giants won that trophy, and I lost my bet. So you and Richard gain a point.
Oh my God, we won!
Yes, the PHN picks. You guys got it. I blew it. Although the game did go to overtime, it's still a loss for me. But the Belfast Giants are 4 points clear of the Sheffield Steelers, but the Steelers have played two fewer games. And in third position are the Cardiff Devils. They're pulling up with 64 points, and they have played three more games than Sheffield. So the Devils are pretty much ensconced in that third position. The other thing that has happened is that the Nottingham Panthers have found a way into the fourth position. And are doing actually very well. In fact, this evening, the Panthers defeated the Belfast Giants. So they put a hit on the Giants, who could have been 6 points clear with of the Steelers. But unfortunately, they were handled easily by the Panthers. The team that has really been surging will stretch down into the fifth position, and that's the Dundee Stars. Still a ways behind, but they have 43 points in 43 games, and they are making a push for a playoff spot. So cheers to the Dundee Stars. And with that, I am going to close the Bangers and Mash report. And Jacob, that's it's sort of off base. I realize that some of our listeners are probably not in tune with the UK hockey scene, but we are going to start really pushing that probably over the summer and getting some of our UK staff on the podcast so we hear them and get to see them. So that's what's going on there. But Jacob, we had an opportunity this week, as we were talking about in the pre-show time, that Adam Minnick and I had a chance to talk about Donald Money and his impact on us personally, as well as us professionally. I've posted a couple of photographs of Don in our articles, and the first thing that struck me was just how professionally he held himself. He was always in a shirt and tie, nice pair of slacks, good shoes, which is what our requirements are to come on staff. We do not permit gear, and you would never know that Don was a huge fan of Orlando hockey, whatever team was there. He started when Orlando was the single A level hockey. And so, those are the things that Adam and I are talking about. And what I'd like to do is throw it over to Adam.
Welcome in to the Pro Hockey News Podcast. I know you're expecting to not hear my voice. You usually are expecting on this type of week for what we call the Second Line Edition with Lou, Richard, and Jacob. We're throwing a curveball because life has thrown us a curveball here at PHN. This is Adam Minnick, normally on the First Line Edition, along with our publisher here, Lou Lafredo. Richard is in hiking and swimming and drinking and eating his way through Hawaii. Jacob and Lou will take over in the next segment of the show. But Lou and I are here to talk about the loss in our family. And I use family very wholeheartedly in the pro hockey news world. We mentioned on the first edition last week in the intro, where SPHL, single A, Orlando Solar Bears, former Seals, former Solar Bears, first iteration, season ticket holder, reporter, booster club member, so many words to use with Don Money, unexpectedly passed away last week. Lou and I just kind of want to remember Don as we've both had interactions with him in very different and somewhat the same ways. Heck, Lou, if it wasn't for Don, I'm not sure you and I would have the relationship that we have, oddly enough. As
I'll never forgive him for that.
I say the same thing. I blame him for many things too, I guess.
So. Yeah, I had to break it up there. You're absolutely right. You came out to Albuquerque and Don told me about you and the very first New Mexico Scorpions practice that you attended. He described you and made sure that I looked you up. I did. And quite honestly, one of the best introductions I've ever had. And you and I have been friends ever since. And that's a whole lot of years ago at this point. So cheers to you and cheers to Don for having done that for us, you know?
Yeah, my meeting of Don goes back to the 05-06 season. I had just moved to Orlando, which ended up being my only season with the Orlando Seals at the time. Left one David Warnocker team to go to another team for a better situation after I left Macon. And I remember sitting in the front office in the arena where our game day offices were and somebody saying, who's this prohockeynews.com blog and Don Money wants a press pass. And I'm like, well, you know, guys, I'm in charge of that. That's my department in terms of broadcasting and the media relations stuff. And, you know, I ended up saying, I've never heard of these guys. Did some research. Oh, they're Whipple guys. Okay. What are they doing out here? And I remember, you know, saying, okay, you know, we need coverage. And I was the type back in that part of, you know, I was in the fledgling alphabet soup of the ACHL to the WHA2 to the SPHL to God knows what other alphabet soup was out there back in the early 2000s. But I said, you know, let's get him. Let's give him access. And a couple people like, oh, but he's a season ticket holder. He's just looking for free stuff. I said, well, we're going to give him a press pass where he has to have his season ticket. He doesn't get press box seat, but he gets access to players. Sure. He kind of did that. And I remember, you know, you kind of reached out and got my email and said, okay, here, you know, you gave me the rundown, you know, the boilerplate of what, you know, was it PHN then? Was it just, you know, 05? Was it under the PHN name?
Yeah. It was. I mean, we had purchased, I know this is getting away from your story here, but you know, we had purchased the name from a Brian Goldfarb, who was our Lubbock Cotton Kings reporter. And he had come up with the name and he sold it to me for $100, probably in 99 or something like that. But we started out as the Whiffle and Don was one of the first to reach out. And then you and I, you know, got connected and, you know, to be honest with you, Adam, I forget that. I forget that I had reached out and had that communication with you.
Yeah, because I learned that Don had, you know, not much journalism background and was just a fan at heart. And I was like, okay, let's try this. And my fond memories of Don was basically looking, you know, internship is weird because, you know, he was a grown man at the time and wasn't looking to get like into the journalism world like I was in a different stage of each of our lives, really, to be honest. But, you know, I taught him a lot. I know that talking to him years later, he always did speak that year was big where he got a lot of help and I gave him a lot of access and kind of, you know, I was pretty blunt with him of, no, you don't do that. And you do this and that, and I, you know, you and I had talked and I said, hey, I'm going to give him a short leash. As long as it's not an abomination, embarrassing. Okay. No, we'll take .com coverage. You know, who am I to say no in the league that we were in and kicking off all that WHA2 SPHL stuff down there. You know, we needed it. And Don, God, from 05 on, just, I mean, he took everything to heart, everything Orlando hockey. And then even, I mean, you eventually promoted him to our single A editor here.
Yeah. Yeah. you have to keep in mind too that that first year that you saw him when he approached you in Orlando with the Seals, we were just really coming out of the cocoon, if you will. Sorry for the metaphor, but we had been a WPHL centric publication. That's where the staff were from, because they were friends of mine in the different WPHL cities. Mitch Cooper, Larry Furness, these are the guys that, you know, were tromping around in the WPHL. Jason Cohen in Austin, who wrote the book. It just went out of my head. I wasn't thinking about talking about him.
So, Don was the first non-nepotism hire that you had?
Yeah, he was one of the first strangers to come on board.
That's saying something, knowing you, Lou, because you and strangers don't always have the best histories.
No, we don't. I don't. You know me all too well, Adam. My levels of trust are pretty thin. But you know, Don, I think you said it right. He took it to heart, and he absorbed everything that you taught him, obviously. And I've seen Anise Reeves in Orlando has been sharing some photos that are going to be shown during the memorial service this Saturday, and we'll have more information later in the broadcast, folks. But Don was the, you may laugh at this, but what I called him in the quick thing I did on our site is that he was the consummate professional. You know, he showed up in a nice pair of slacks, collared shirt, tie, and did, he presented himself, I think, as well as anyone or better than most of the folks on staff. And it's not anything against anybody else. It's just he absorbed everything and took it to heart and took it as his responsibility to respect the game and us as the publication.
And he was supportive and a fan and so much. I mean, so much so that... you know, God, this is and she may, if she hears this, I don't know if she will, but you know, it'll be interesting. But Audra Martin, who is at Fox Sports North or Bally Sports North now is what it is, and is the host for the Wild coverage. She sits on the desk there and also does the Twins dugout reporting and whatnot. But hockey is her love, and mm-hmm. It's actually a Chicago native like myself. She went to UCF. Down there in Orlando, and she was an ice girl. You know, the promotion team and ice cleanup crew for the Seals. Mm-hmm. And Don followed her career like a lot of us, you know, have, and those of us who worked together and hit it big, and was always so supportive of her from the outside, and just kind of, you know, in a very, very respectful way. And I know, you know, he admired Audra for what she had done of you know, putting herself through school, working in the promotions world of hockey while pursuing a broadcast dream and all that. But I mean, his heart extended from fellow season ticket holders to booster club members, to the players, to, you know, staff, you know, quirky guy at times. Let's not kid ourselves. Don was the quirky mustachioed man there, but his heart, you're not going to find a nicer guy and probably too nice to a fault sometimes with people that he interacted with.
Yeah. And you know, it, sorry. I'm going to miss the hours long phone calls.
I was not short-winded. Yes.
I'm going to miss them. And, it's the first thing I thought about when I got the word. He has sent so many people our way. Ron Otero, who's now you know, essentially our beat writer for the Tampa Bay Lightning. And so many people have ended up in our lap because Don, you know, was making those recommendations. But, you know, at first you would always dread, you'd look at your cell phone, and it was Donald Money, and say, Money, excuse me. But, you know, 2 minutes after the conversation starts, I mean, you are on a roller coaster of information and emotional investment on both sides. You know, there were times when he was being challenged by, Solar Bears, but he was being challenged by management of the ECHL franchise. And to be quite honest with you, treated poorly. But he stuck with it and brought them back around where he was, you know, back in their good graces. And I do believe that they will be participating in the memorial service. And I'm hoping that they will do something for him during one of their games. You know, as you said, look, one of the reasons we have been successful into our 21st season is we have given column space to teams that otherwise would have literally virtually nothing, right? We're not looking for the pat on the back. It's, you know, we're providing an outlet for folks who love hockey and happen to enjoy writing or shooting photographs. So it really does work for both.
I could attest to from with bringing Don on, when you brought Don on, and just in Orlando, of the radio station I was on was low wattage on the FM side, the ESPN affiliate down there on the FM side at the time. Yeah. The Orlando Sentinel did not cover us every game. The Osceola paper was weekly, but the most bylines that the year that I got there and the most coverage that we got and the reporter that showed up to the most practices and games was Don. Is it the same readership as the Sentinel? No, of course not. But that's, you know, is it the same as the AM sports leader out there? No, of course not. But, you know, but at the same time, the commitment was there, and he was getting paid far less than any radio or newspaper personality was in that marketplace. And in fact, cost him because of kind of in the agreement that I had this year that he had to maintain his season ticket because we didn't want to lose the season ticket holder to media just to kind of scrum off. So he, in theory, it cost him more than anybody else to cover us, but he never complained once.
No. And never said a word to me. Never, not once in all of the years. So basically, 17 years. Yeah. Not once in those years did I ever have to have a conversation with him that was anything other than about his love of the game and following it and reporting and asking for advice. And, you know, on occasion, I would have to say, you know what, Don, I don't know how to deal with that, but I'm going to send you over to Mitch Cooper, who is, in fact, a journalist by academic training. And so Mitch Cooper would help him out with something, particularly with the Solar Bears. And so,
One of the words that you used in your obit, if I can call it that you put on our website, you called him a founder. Those are big words for, you know, I don't think most people would quote unquote consider him a founder, but you know, those are big words coming from our publisher to use about Don.
Well, look, he came in at a nexus point, not a nexus point, excuse, inflection point for the publication. We were struggling. Struggling to, you know, come up with content, come up with anything original that was just whiffle. And then suddenly we had interest coming out of the Central League. The long-term project had always been to try and get to the NHL. But it was Don's approach to us that opened up not floodgates, but certainly opened up interest into single A hockey. And so that grew into the CHL. The AHL has always been a problem for us, but we do have, you know, probably 8 or 9 full-time staffers that cover the AHL. And all of that led to the NHL. And so that's why I consider Don a founder. And I did not use that lightly. You know, the true founders, if you will, was the WPHL staff, most of whom departed after the WPHL merged with the CHL. And so Don was that affable personality, quirky, yeah, but he attracted people, you know. Yeah. He was the glue that held us together over the next couple of years, so that we could regain some footing in a wider audience. And then all of a sudden, we had people from Boston wanting to cover the Providence Bruins, Thomas Chase, because he had seen where we were branching off and suddenly having a name where we did not exist prior to that. We were non-existent, invisible. And so in effect, Adam, you have as much to do with us unwittingly at the time, becoming who we are now, before you even knew us.
Well, without Don, I don't think I'd have the relationship with PHN at all that I have now, because, you know, little did we know a year later I'd be coming into your backyard when I took the job with the Scorpions when they came out of dormancy in the new arena, and then, you know, which is where you're located in your hometown team there. But you know, yeah, we would have met. I don't think I would have had the background of who or what you and the publication were without the coincidence, really, when you think about it.
Sure.
Of Don. I mean, a lot of things had to fall in place for me to be in Orlando, Don to want to join a Whipple-based, you know, website, essentially, at the time, and which is time zones away at that point, and all that. And I wouldn't, I mean, the operates, I mean, without Don, I'm not covering 6 outdoor games in my print career, because, you know, my whole broadcast path post-hockey, I don't know if I would have had the podcast or the writing path post, you know, when I left the minor league sports team side, right. You know, after my dozen years and inside the business and now on the outside, you know, without that introduction to Don, never would have happened, guaranteed.
Yeah.
And our friendship, you know, so he's responsible for our friendship as much as you want to blame him for that, as you started the segment, which
I'm such a smart ass. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you're not. Don't apologize for things you're not sorry for. I wouldn't apologize. That's,
okay, thanks. Okay, yeah.
I mean, you know,
I just beat you to it.
You did. Yes. That's what pissed me off the most. You beat me to it. It's yes. Is there? I'm not putting you on the spot or trying to say he was better than anybody, but in terms of bylines and articles edited over the last 17 years, take you off that list. I got to say, he's got to probably be second, third place of time spent on the back end of our website there.
Easily at least the third. And carried the ECHL for years on his back. And it wasn't until we added John Hall to split the duties, because Don was getting a little, he never really talked about his personal life, but it was obvious that some issues were cropping up, and he was getting a little worn thin. And so John Hall stepped up to take the Western Conference in the ECHL, and then that left Don with the East. Don, when Don wrote about the Solar Bears, he had readers waiting with bated breath for his piece to come out. We only have one other writer on our staff for whom readers wait with the same anticipation, and that's David Carr out of London. Carzy, if one of his pieces hits our page, and our numbers go through the roof, and that was the same with Don. And so that's why I think it's the 2-3 of David Carr and 2A, it's so hard to, I don't want to, do the cliche thing of 2A, 2B or something, but the two of them are right behind me and I will take the number one spot.
Yeah. Well, we know that. Yeah. But yeah. It's amazing in so many ways. Cause I mean, I know I've stepped way back from the writing side of it since we started the pod side of it.
Right.
I used to be a lot more wholehearted with the editorial side and on the back end. And it was just always amazing to me looking at how many times his name popped up either as, the writer, or when we have the editor on there, so people know who kind of, made some changes, and then looking at some of the hits, like I used to look at when I was looking at that a lot more. You're right. I mean, his graph was a positive line chart. It didn't have the same, it had a different path as other writers, and it's not to take anything away from the other writers, but I mean, talk about a guy that was self-promoting before social media was a thing, and then, building a brand, if you will, and building a brand within a community down there in Central Florida. It was a thing.
You bring that up. Let's face it. He joined us, 2005. Twitter was still 4 years away.
Yeah.
You don't realize that there was a before time on the social media side.
I realize it. I realize it because the whole time I was inside of the business, Twitter didn't exist, and it's so different now talking to guys that are still in it.
Yeah.
Or just following it from the, just how different it is. But he built a brand.
Yes.
For himself without social media. I know he had opportunities. Other websites had talked to him over the years, and he remained, ones that were probably going to be more lucrative than PHM, but he always remained loyal to a place he helped found, essentially.
Yeah.
Loyalty.
Yeah, there were a number of folks who were on our staff, broke off and created something else. I am not giving them. Yeah. And then I tried to rifle through our staff. What I will say, though, is that aside from the ones who left to form this other outlet, very few, if any, followed them after that departure. So I will pat myself on the back. I mean, there are things that we have not been able to do. You know what those are. But what I tell any prospective staffer who approaches us is we will work like hell to get you into the team of your choice. You have to put some time in at the minor leagues, just like everybody else, in order to get to the NHL. But we will work our butts off to get you into games as credentialed press.
And Don was always one of the first to step up to talk to new staff members and then kind of show them the ropes and take, he took a lot of pressure off you as a publisher. But I mean, like I said, it's hard to we're all still processing this. I mean, it kind of shocked me when you shot me the note and I learned through you, I learned through elsewhere that I shot you a note of, okay, hey, did you see this? It was devastating. But like I said, this is a guy whose legacy will not be forgotten at PHN. I know that because, like you said, I mean, just the number of people he has touched throughout the current staff and past staff is it's second to none. I mean, he was always willing to help. And like I said, it wasn't just his PHN stuff as we've learned more about his personal life recently, as well as over the years, but he was a giving man.
Yes. What we are learning, as you said, is that his life was deeper than we might have imagined, and his capacity for empathy and sympathy were boundless.
And he would
that's
also
the only way to put it.
And he would also hate that we're doing this, talking about him so much and making it the center of attention for, you know, however many minutes we're gonna cathartically throw through this for very selfishly our own reasons. Let's you know, not kid ourselves as part of the grieving and cathartic process is what you know, I wanted to get with you to mention Don, to talk about Don, but he would hate this. He would absolutely hate that he's going to have a segment on the Pro Hockey News podcast dedicated solely to him. He would have hated that intro last week I wasn't on the episode due to my schedule, but that I put a quick little intro together, you know, a 12-second thing to get Richard to splice that in. He would hate that I took the time to do that, you know, and thought about him. That's just not, he was never the one that wanted to be thought about. He always wanted to think about others. That was his focus.
And again, the reason for the moniker of founder. We started in 01 in earnest and struggled those first 4 years. He came along and we continued to struggle. Our first Winter Classic was the Rangers Philadelphia Flyers. And I was stunned pleasantly, you know, when we got that, when we got that approval. And we have not missed, we have only missed one special event outdoor game, and it was in Toronto. Every other one, we have had a presence, Lake Tahoe last year, all of the games this year, all three of them, including the Heritage Classic, second time. Vancouver. Three of us got into that game. John Warren got into the Hamilton game, and all of that gets tracked back. There is that inflection point, as I said before, and that comes back to you and Don making the connection, and you essentially, you know. We don't want to make it about either one of us, but you took a flyer on us. You know?
Do you remember at all when Don very first time reached out to you to talk to you about becoming a writer?
He had dropped an email my way. It was not a phone call. It was one of the very first times that we had a recruitment page, a staff recruit page on the site. And he reached out because at the time we didn't have any editors. So it just came to me as publisher and owner. So that's why he contacted me asking about our interest in expanding and covering, of all things, a team in Orlando. That was not, again, one of the major leagues, you know. It was a complete flyer on his part.
Did you ever ask him how he found you guys? Did that conversation ever come up over the years?
No. When you say that, it strikes me that Don and I never talked about the past. about anything in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It was always the now and what is going to be done next. How could we improve recruitment into the ECHL for more original content? It's not until you just asked that question that it occurred to me. He and I never talked about the past. I knew nothing about him personally. So we took a flyer on him as well.
Yeah.
You know, and Don, you know, Don Money, I, you know, who's Don? You know, and yet my thought was, what the hell? Somebody's interested in us. Yeah. I was kind of flattered by it. Then, but, you know, Don led to how many others? So,
but that tells you the character of Don that you guys never, you know, rapped about the past, because he was always worried about the present and growth in the future, of how to continue growth in his patch of the PHN. Where, like, you know, you're his boss slash publisher. He looked at it like that, and you guys developed a friendship over the years. But, you know, mostly it was, okay, how do I get the EC, you know, from the SPHL to the ECHL? How do I get, right, you know, single A to double A, and you know, back when he was doing both, because he was straddling, you know, at times both of those beats as writer slash editor. And yeah, you know, but that just kind of speaks to his character. It wasn't necessarily about 2005. It was about, how do we get to 2025 with the site?
Absolutely. And, you know, at some point, I don't, this is not a pejorative, but I took the single A away from him. Not for a bad job, but focus on the double A. That was the whole idea. Yeah. You know, get to the double A and then offer him the opportunity to, you know, we could have gotten him into Tampa or Sunrise at the drop of a hat. That's the kind of name that he had and the kind of reputation that he had, but he was comfortable at the double A level. And any thought of the Solar Bears going dark was probably the one thing that would cause anxiety for Don, because then he would not know where to go from there. He needed live hockey. That's what really drove him.
I mean, one of my favorite references to Don was, it was Tommy Stewart had run a rough practice after a tough road trip for the guys. And, you know, heck, little did we know at the time, we were on our way to, you know, the finals of the SPHL and, you know, 3 years in a row for Stewie at, you know, that was his third with that, different ways of losing them all. Not that I remember any of the losing part.
No, of course.
But, you know, I remember Stewie had talked to Don after practice, and the GM at the time was Chris LaPuma, former original Solar Bear, you know, IHL player, played for Tampa, was on the original Tampa Bay Lightning team that played in Tropicana Field, and still was connected to the organization. I remember coming back to the office, and Boom stopped me and goes, "That goofy guy with the mustache just keeps showing up, doesn't he?" And he's always asking Stewie. I'm like, "Yep, Don's always here." But for Chris, it was the goofy guy with the mustache, and it was an endearing way, because Chris was just a big teddy bear. I mean, he stuck even in a guy like that, and Chris LaPuma did not need to remember, you know, face, or, and he knew his name, but I mean, that was just his affable way of referring to Don.
Yeah.
In the time that we were together there. So
listen, if you haven't been given a hockey nickname at some point, then you just haven't made it.
Yeah. You know? No matter what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Goofy guy with the mustache.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but, yeah, I, you know, I that's, you know, I've got nothing else to say, simply because, you know, you could talk for hours about Don, because Don can talk to you for hours. You know, as your phone minutes, it's a good thing, you know, unlimited minutes are a thing now. Yeah. Cause if they wouldn't have been, that 10 cents a minute was going to upcharge you and Don, because like I said, he was always just so inquisitive and wanting, and yeah. Yeah, as quirky as he was, you never wanted to stop talking to him. It was really hard to want to end a conversation with him.
You know what you just said? You used the word wanting. He was the least needy individual that we have ever dealt with. The least. it was the phone call that would come in was not him wanting something.
No,
it was always to talk about hockey. And the only thing he might request is, you know, what do you think I should do? Or what do you think about this? It was that was all that it really was. And so, his loss is, it's a hole in the heart. It's a hole in the staff. The hole in the heart will heal. The hole in the staff I'm concerned about. Don was an anchor. A mainstay for us. And I don't know how to replace that, because the written word has become a thing of the past. Lonnie Goldsmith, I remember this clearly. It might have even been the start of this podcast season, when he said that the podcast is the future, not the written word, because a game report is so-and-so scored at, 1:32 of the second period to tie the game 3-3 or whatever, and people are looking for more than that. They're more interested in having someone opine about a topic than they are about reading about a game report. And yet the game reports, to be perfectly honest with you, are what drive us into acceptance by the National Hockey League. We are not an accredited outlet without those gamers. And the podcast might be the future. I enjoy it. I know Don enjoyed it when he was on. But his loss is going to severely hamper our ability to put up the written word. And I love writing and I love reading. The podcasts are fun. I love listening to you guys. But that's where we are.
Yeah, Don is irreplaceable. And, the best way to end this segment is just a big thank you for all you did, Don. All the friends and family that are going to listen to this segment, just know that we are as appreciative of you sharing Don with us as anybody in the world. You are lucky people to have been his true friends and his true family. And we just got a part of Don as part of our family, but Don will never be forgotten and will always be missed by the PHN crew.
Yep. Cheers to Don. And Adam, thanks for doing this segment before we get back to Jacob here.
Thanks. Okay. We love you, Don.
Same here. Yeah. Once again, I want to thank Adam for that opportunity to reminisce and, really soothe an aching soul and a hurt heart. Don's celebration, as I said earlier in the show, is going to be tomorrow, the 26th of March, 4 p.m. Mountain. I said it again, Jacob. Living in the mountain time zone, I keep saying that it's 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow. You can contact us through social media or on our website to find out what the Zoom link is. If you'd like to chime in and pay your respects and help us celebrate. But Jacob, I want to throw it over to you because we'd like to finish the show up with some NHL news. And I think there was something big this week, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Recall, right?
Yeah, there was a little event called the trade deadline.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. So what do you think?
So there was a lot of trades. It picked up very quickly because when we were talking on our last podcast, we didn't know, there weren't many rumors flying around. And then in 3 days, there were something like 25 or no, there were like 30 trays or something in like 2 days. At one point, the head office was actually just caught up with trays, like they couldn't process all of them in a timely manner. So while the deals were made in principle and they were all submitted, the NHL was taking their time to actually process them and get them through. But there's a lot of very top tier names and household names for a lot of teams that got moved. I think we're going to start with probably the biggest. Claude Giroux was traded to the Florida Panthers alongside German Rubotsov and Connor Brennerman in a fifth round draft pick, while the Philadelphia Flyers acquired Owen Tippett, a 2023 third round pick, and a 2024 first round pick that is top 10 protected. So, Lou, what do you think of this trade?
Well, you know, we have not inside information, but certainly, you know, we have a team that covers the Flyers. Jack Smart and Louis Blyman are the members of the team. Boy, I had a hard time with the English language that time. Are the members of the team there. And Lewis has been saying for at least 2 years that Giroux had to be traded. That he, from his perspective, that Giroux just wasn't playing up to his level, to Giroux's level of talent and abilities. So I think Philadelphia needed to do something to shake up the team. Mike Yeo, the head coach, or the coach, because I'm still not sure. I'm still uncertain as to whether he has a head coach status. This was probably the best move that Philadelphia could have made. They brought in some prospects. They brought in some young talent, replenish Lehigh Valley Phantoms, and try and inject some life into the Flyers. What did you think? I mean,
I think they had to make the decision. I don't think there was any choice because Claude Giroux is a UFA after the season.
Right.
And I would be very hard, if I were in his shoes, I'd be hard pressed to sign with a team that lost 10 games in a row twice in one season.
Yeah.
And there's about a quarter of the season left. So that's a bit scary, and I don't like that Claude Giroux basically forced the Flyers to trade him to a single team.
Yeah, and I'm sure we're going to be talking about that again in a few minutes, but I did hear an interview with the general manager, and you know, he tried to put a good face on it by saying, you know, Claude Giroux had given, you know, his all for over 10 years to the Flyers, and he was due that opportunity because he had a no move clause.
Florida is great. I'm very excited to watch them in the playoffs, but that Eastern Conference is stacked. So another team that is very close to the Florida Panthers, the New York Rangers, not geographically, of course, but.
Right.
Your Rangers did a trade that I quite liked, and I'm curious what your opinion is on Andrew Kopp going to the New York Rangers for 2 second-round picks. One is a conditional pick, right. So if Kopp plays for 50% of the games and the New York Rangers make the second round, that is a first-round pick in 2022.
I thought that of all the trades, that was the one. I had the feeling they were going to dip into the Winnipeg roster. What is appealing about Kopp is that he and Jacob Trouba, who was late of the Winnipeg Jets before moving over to the Rangers, have known each other since they were age 10 and have played together for years, and they were both at the Jets. But the Rangers gave up. They have the luxury of having a stacked system of prospects now. And the only they only had to give up one in the entire trade scenario. Everything else was were picks. And I just think that the Kopp acquisition is the one that makes the difference. I think the Rangers get a little lazy on offense. They're short a left winger, and Kopp can play left. And I think that was a terrific Chris Drury, the general manager, I think made a great choice on that. What's your assessment?
Yeah, I really like that trade. I've been a big fan of Andrew Kopp for a while. I really liked him in Winnipeg. And to see him, I really hope he does get a chance at the Cup, because I don't think he really truly got much of a chance in Winnipeg. While Winnipeg was great, they never really looked at any point like they were going to win the Stanley Cup, especially on paper. But this New York Rangers team, especially with guys like Nick Merkley, Justin Braun, and Tyler Motte, they're big. They can take some teams if it goes to seven games.
Here's the one thing that made me happy for a change about this Ranger trade season, and that is that Drury did not break up the chemistry of what got them to 40-18-5.
Yeah.
That's saying something. You know, you had anybody who was on that roster before the trade deadline is still with them, and will be with them, hopefully through a playoff run. So yeah, that's, you know, as a longtime Ranger fan, that was my pleasant thing. So what do you got next for us?
Okay, I'm going to take it to my least favorite team, the Boston Bruins, because they did make a trade. It's a trade I am laughing at them for, but they acquired Hampus Lindholm for a haul. They traded John Moore, Euro Vakanainen, a 2022 first round pick, a 2023 second, and a 2024 second round draft pick for Hampus Lindholm, as well as they re-signed him for a $6.5 million a year deal for the next 8 years. That is crazy. I don't know what Boston thinks that they're doing here. Do you have any
no
idea?
No. And look, you know, when we met 2 weeks ago, one of the things I brought up was, you know, the sign and trade option. I thought DeBrusque would be gone after signing his contract. There was an awful lot of talk about him being traded off after the signing. I don't understand giving up that much and then giving up the cash
for DeBrusque.
No, for Lindholm.
Oh yeah, that.
To me, they gave up an awful lot of. They gave up their prospects. Is he worth 8 years?
Yeah, he's a good defenseman, but even this season he wasn't playing that well. He's not going to help Boston where Boston needs it most, and that's in the center spot.
Right.
We don't know what's going on with Bergeron at all. We don't know who's going to step up offensively, because offensively the Boston Bruins haven't been that amazing. And they never really have been. They've really relied on that one line with Brad Marchand and David Pastrnak. Outside of that, this doesn't help them. Yeah, sure, it stops the bleeding from when they lost Tori Krug, but that doesn't... At the end of the day, that's just... You gave up so much
right.
to not be able to replace that from your own system.
Right. So they're turning the tap off, and they just happened to get lucky last night. Pastrnak hit for a hat trick. They beat the Tampa Bay Lightning 3-2. So to your point, Jacob, without that line, there's nothing. They lose 2-0, or 2-1 or whatever without Pastrnak's trick last night. So
exactly.
It really does confirm your point. Yeah.
And Jake DeBrusque is one of the few younger players that is an solid NHL player. And I think he should be given the ability just to be traded off. I can think of a lot of teams that would love his services and that could have used his services at this trade deadline.
Sure.
But I think Boston has this weird idea that they are going to compete, that they can beat a Tampa Bay, a Florida in the playoffs, because there's no point in making the playoffs if you know you're losing in the second round or in the first round, or unless you're playing Toronto.
Come
on. I had to get one in there.
Oh, that is so seamless. The only thing that would have made it better if I just hadn't had a reaction, but I had to.
Oh, no.
Seamless.
I think absolutely that makes it seamless. Better.
Yeah, it does. It does. So what else you got?
Well, we can talk about Toronto now.
Okay. Great segue.
They got Mark Giordano.
Yeah.
And Colin Blackwell. So from the Seattle Kraken. Mm-hmm. And I think this is actually a good trade. It doesn't solve that problem in goaltending, but
go ahead.
It's an improvement. They definitely need help on the back end to hopefully ease that. Just how many goals have they given up for the last couple of games? Like, they've blown every lead that they've had.
Right. So it really begs the question, what are they thinking about in Toronto? Because the fan base is up in arms. And, certainly the betting lines are that they leave the playoffs in the first round. They do not make it out of the second round, make it to the second round once again. That Heritage Classic game, I felt was an embarrassment. With Matthews cross-checking in the slot. That was that, and his excuse was, well, we were just battling the puck. No, you weren't. The puck was nowhere near you. And to have done that just seemed to me to be petulant.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason why Austin Matthews is not wearing the C and John Tavares is.
Interesting.
Because Austin Matthews does make some very boneheaded decisions. On the ice, for the most part, though, I will give him credit. He is much better on the ice. That is a rarity for him.
Right.
And he got his suspension. He served it. And I think that's probably the last we'll see of him in terms of the playoff or the Department of Player Safety for probably a long while, unless some freak accident or thing happens.
Sure.
But I think the combination with TJ Brody and Mark Giordano being resurrected in Toronto is a good thing because they don't need offense at all.
Are you surprised about Peter Mrazek just not? I thought he was going to be better.
I thought so too, but he also did this in Carolina and in Detroit, where he would kind of have those games where he would just lose it altogether. And especially in Detroit. In Detroit, he was almost famous for being good, 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 solid, solid, solid. And then, oh no, everything fell off the cliff. And I guess that's what happened again. And that's a fine thing to have. Hell, the Edmonton Oilers have Mike Smith. But for Toronto, I think it, because they are going all in, and they just are trying to do anything in their physical power to quit past the first round, and they stacked up on everything that's not goaltending, and they wound up downgrading to him. And Jack Campbell's injured, and
what's Logan's name?
Sorry?
The backup.
Eric Kallgren?
That's it. Sorry. I was thinking of somebody else. Yeah. So bring up a name that we bandied about before, Georgiev.
Yeah.
What was keeping the Maple Leafs from making a push on him? Or maybe they did.
Cap space. So keep in mind, Georgiev has like a $2.6-something million contract. And either Mrazek would have had to go the other way. And if I'm New York, unless that they give up some draft pick that is just, I can't refuse, I don't really want that. Georgiev is serviceable.
Yeah.
And Toronto's not going to be able to afford him, even if they resign him. So it would be a pure rental.
Yeah. See, the Rangers could bring up Keith Kincaid out of Hartford and slot him into that number two position. Hopefully not ride Shesterkin into the ground, but I see Shesterkin being able to handle a playoff set. But okay, so given what we saw this week, are you prognosticating a one and done from the Maple Leafs?
Oh, of course.
There's no way
they beat any of the teams that are currently in the playoffs in the West. Who do you think they could beat? Or in the East, sorry.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they have to get out of their division first. And so that's Florida, Tampa, and Boston.
Yeah.
So, okay. You're right. Silly me. What was I thinking? It's not until you actually look at it, you know, and see Toronto versus Tampa. No, that's not going to happen. Toronto versus Boston. It never has, never will. Jeremy Swayman is playing lights out for the Bruins in net. As you said, no one's going to beat Florida. It's one and done.
And I want to be fair to Toronto. I think they could realistically, on paper, beat Boston. It's just history has shown us.
I disagree because I don't think that the Maple Leafs are tough enough.
I think Giordano helps. He doesn't fix it. I agree with you on that front. I just.
All right. I'll give you Giordano as a help. I guess I'm also agreeing with you that he's not the fix. And how old is it? Giordano's
38.
Unless they've got Geritol in those Gatorade bottles, it's not going to help.
Well, speaking of old people.
No, don't talk about me.
No, I'm talking about one of my personal favorite players in the National Hockey League, Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah.
Being traded to the Minnesota Wild for, I believe it was just a second, a conditional second round draft pick, with the condition being upgraded to a first if the Wild gets to the conference finals and Fleury has four wins.
Right.
So, yeah. What do you think?
Look, he was limited on where he wanted to go. His option in Minnesota was to be with because of general manager Billy Guerin. They are apparently close, and so that's what opened the door for Minnesota. For Minnesota to only give up a second conditional on the first, you know, based on an awful lot of happening in Minnesota's favor going forward. When you voice it, when you put words to the out in the air and you realize that Minnesota gave up nothing, it's not a bad trade.
Yeah.
And Chicago got nothing. You know, they have to hope that Minnesota gets through and they can get a first round pick. But it makes you wonder about Fleury, that Chicago was willing to let him go for a second round pick. And that's my concern.
I think it's also another, I'd also like to step back a bit and remember Vegas traded nothing for Marc-Andre or Fleury, or traded nothing to get rid of Marc-Andre Fleury. Right. And Minnesota traded a second to acquire Marc-Andre Fleury at a deadline that theoretically has the has people being increased, or the price for players being increased.
Doesn't it make you wonder?
Yeah, it does. But I'm also kind of mildly surprised Cam Talbot didn't get traded.
No, I wasn't surprised at that. Kaapo Kakkonen went over to the Sharks, and he lost last night, which was unfortunate for him. They lost 5-2.
The Oilers.
Oilers, that's right.
Yeah, I watched that game. He got pelted.
Yeah. He was busy. So not all his fault. Let's not forget it is the San Jose Sharks that they were playing. There were times when Fleury looked awful, this season in Chicago. He had an outstanding game that he still lost, but got the game to overtime. It was a 46 saves, I think he made. And was that against, I can't remember now, sorry. So he has shown flashes, but he's not, let's face it, you said he's the old man. Do you see him taking over as number one, or Cam Talbot staying in the top position? What's the verdict?
It depends what Cam Talbot's, what kind of Cam Talbot shows up towards the end of the season, which I like Cam Talbot, but Cam Talbot is also not a goaltender who will win you a Stanley Cup, unfortunately.
He's won 8 straight.
Correct.
But it Cam is the Talbot's regular great. Season. Yeah, it is the regular. Yeah.
And I think this just gives the Minnesota Wild some safety in the back end. Hmm. But I believe they probably could have used some more scoring depth or defensive help.
Yeah.
Although I think the prices for those would be a bit too much for Minnesota. And I don't think they were willing to go for too much risk.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so who else you got for us?
Okay. Let's take it back to Alberta, because I like what both Alberta teams did. One more than the other, actually. And guess who I liked more than the other, Lou?
I'm wondering, geez, could it be the Oilers or the Flames, or the flame that shows on the top of the drill site?
Actually, the Flames. Okay. I really liked what they did.
Okay.
The Flames acquired more forward depth. And they traded not really much of anything for it. And I'm also going to consider adding Tyler Toffoli as part of this whole trade deadline.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, because I believe that's what probably kicked it off. Tyler Toffoli is a fantastic playoff performer. He is one of the people that you would kill to have in the playoffs. And to get him like this, and to get Kyle Yanrock as a rental is huge. This team's going to be terrifying. They have great defensive depth. They have one of the best goaltenders in the league. They have a speedy offense, and they're coached very safely. They don't make terrible, egregious mistakes. That's a really scary team to play against.
You know, Colorado seems to be the odds-on favorite to come out of the West. I don't agree with that. I've thought that the Flames were the odds-on favorite, no matter where they are in the standings. That's an awfully difficult team to get past, and Suter is just a. Let's face it. I mean, you know, he's old school. And is going to coach old school. You are going to be hurting after two games.
Of course.
In any season, right? In any series, I should say.
And I think if Calgary gets past the second round, I think they probably win, or they probably make it to the Cup Finals, because they can shut down. I think one of the teams that will pose a big challenge aren't going to be Colorado. I think they beat a Colorado or an Edmonton or a Nashville. But I don't know if they beat a St. Louis.
Mm. You know, everybody's saying that St. Louis is just sort of playing possum right now, that they're exactly where they want to be. And that's just a bunch of hooey from my perspective. I, there's another word I would use, but Richard would have to be scrambling to do the whistle to take out the language. It's a lot of hooey. I just don't know that St. Louis has the horses this year to do it.
Maybe they turn it on. I think there's a chance. A small chance, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But there's a chance they could turn it on at the very end, and coming into the playoff, they could be a dangerous team.
Lost to the Flyers last night, 5-2. Poor performance. Jordan Binnington took the loss. Not good. Okay, so who else we got?
I also want to talk about the Edmonton Oilers and acquiring Brett Kulak.
Yeah, that one surprised me. That was towards the end of the day.
Yeah. But that is going to be a trade that could help with the Oilers in the playoffs. Brett Kulak was playing very well last playoffs, and he is a fairly solid guy who, if you push, he pushes back. He's not going to help you much on offense, but they got a guy named Derek Brassard for that. Which, funny enough, in the game against San Jose, he was really good with Ryan Nugent Hopkins, I will say, in his first game.
I have always liked him. When he was with the Penguins, he wound up with the Rangers for a while. For a number of years, he's been bouncing around with the Flyers before heading over to Edmonton. But I thought that was probably the better pickup. Good, solid veteran leadership, which is what you want.
Of course. Well, who else do we have? we could talk about the Detroit Red Wings, a team we haven't really talked about much this year.
No.
They are currently still doing the rebuild, but they acquired some players I quite liked from St. Louis, which I was surprised. So St. Louis acquired Luke Witowski and Nick Leddy for Oscar Sundquist, which was
huge.
He was available. Jake Walman and a second round pick.
Yeah. Stevie Y is doing a bang up job. They were so close this season, but just lack of consistency.
Yeah, and plus a lot, they have a whole bunch of rookies this year, and I think the next season for them will be very, very good.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. So if you had one loser in the trade season, who would it be?
I'd say the Philadelphia Flyers.
Okay.
They lost everything and gained next to nothing.
Yeah.
They lost their heart and soul.
They did. They lost their identity. I think my loser... Sorry for the sudden increase in the tenor of my voice. I think the Washington Capitals, who did nothing. I thought they would have made a push. They've lost. They're on an ugly skid right now. They're probably safely in the postseason. The closest challenger are the Columbus Blue Jackets, who have 67 points, and I think the Caps have coming in around 80. But they just seem more interested in Ovechkin's chase for the scoring for the Gretzky record. And what else are they? I expected more. I expected them to make the splash. Shore up the goaltending, maybe shore up a little bit of secondary scoring. You can't rely on that nitwit Tom Wilson, you know, game in and game out to beat somebody into submission. So they're my loser. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I would also give probably Columbus a close and Ottawa. A close second and third. I don't know in which order because they kind of just they did nothing. Columbus did nothing. In Ottawa, gave up fourth or third for Travis Hamonic.
Yeah, that was a mystery too. The mystery for me about Columbus is that John Davidson I thought would be far more. Active as a GM with Columbus. So you wonder what that's all about as well. You know, they've been putting on a hard push here towards the end, but they just don't have the horses and they're, you know, like I said, 13 to 15, actually 18 points out. No, excuse me, 19 points away from catching the third position in the East. So, yeah. You know, what do you, you know, and then to turn around and do nothing. So, you know, you signal to your fan base that you've thrown in the towel. So that's disappointing. I think for the Columbus fan base with whom had season tickets for a long time.
This reminds me of the Minnesota Wild for the longest time. Where they would just be meandering in the middle, in the bottom middle of the pack, you know, the best that they could ever do is go into the first round and get just destroyed by the first top seed. And that's it.
Yeah.
This team isn't going to make the playoffs, let alone do anything in the playoffs. And I don't know why they think that this team is just going to do anything in the near future.
Well, look at the standings in the East. You have essentially the top eight already set. We've talked about this at least for 4 weeks. The top eight are set, right?
Correct.
Columbus is the closest at 67 points. They would have to go on a massive tear over the last 18 games. They'd have to go 18-0 in order to catch anybody. No one above them is going to go 0-18. So there is little chance of anybody making that switch. So it's an us and them conference. Out in the West, your Oilers went from what, the sixth position to they're back in the top three, right?
Vegas, doing Vegas things helps.
Yes, it does. Should remind everyone that we are brought to you by the Chicago Wolves store. Surf on over to our over to prohockeynews.com. Click on the Chicago Wolves link, and it'll take you right over to their storefront. And you get just use PHN15. You get a 15% discount on items. I can't go without having some good news. We have been picked up by two sponsors. One of them is FOCO, FOCO.com. They make bobbleheads, and I really want a bobblehead of the five of us on a single statue. I think it'd be great to have five heads bobbling all at the same time, Jacob.
God help us all.
Yeah, it'd be so expensive probably that we can only do one, and we'd have to raffle it off or something to buy a second. But FOCO.com has been with us now for she's almost a year, and surf on over to our site again and look for the Ryan O'Reilly link and his bobblehead on the website. So we thank both of those sponsors for helping us out at prohockeynews.com as well as the PHN podcast. In the meantime, keep Don Money in your thoughts, and keep his family and friends in your prayers. They need it. We need it here at PHN. It's been a rough 2 weeks on all of us, and hug those that you love. Jacob, you have any parting thoughts?
I think that's a good place to leave it for this week.
All right. Thanks. So for Jacob Daugherty, this is Lou Lofredo wishing Richard and his family a safe journey home from Hawaii back to Denver. And we will see him. You will all see him or hear from him next week with the First Line Edition with Lonnie Goldsmith and Adam Minnick. And then we'll be back in 2 weeks with our PHN picks. I was holding off. I don't want to be overtaken any more than I already have been. So I'm blaming it on Don. Everybody have a good weekend, and you will see some of us next week. All right. Thanks.